Secrets. Throw them up. It's trade secrets. Throw them up. It's trade secrets now.
Hey, good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, depending on where you are. Welcome to Trade Secrets. I'm Adam Curry in Belgium at the castle.
Dave Weiner at 5 a.m. in Seattle.
You're such a trooper, Dave. You're such a mensch. <Jeez. laughs>
I hardly even get a chance to open my eyes, and Adam's on the line. Hey, Dave, let's do a trade secret.
Yeah, well, that's so cool. Because
all right, let's do it.
You got to do it. But the thing is, we talk, and then we jabber a little bit, and then we're done. And then it's like, want to do a show? No, I got nothing left to say. So
yeah,
so I got to catch you early.
Well, it's good to do one. We haven't done a trade secret since podcasting became all the rage.
Right, which was last week.
Yeah, pretty much. Stupid.
It's been amazing, though. How was your trip? You got back from San Francisco yesterday?
Yeah, it was really an easy trip. I found a hotel in just the perfect location. It's easy into San Francisco, easy down to the peninsula so I can get to Palo Alto, and I spent a lot of time at Stanford working out the details. Got a whole bunch of things settled for BloggerCon 3, which is on, as you know, November 6th.
Yep.
We found room for everybody who was on the wait list. And,
really? That's cool.
Yeah, juggled a lot of things. Well, I kind of figured at some point that when the registration slowed down, that, you know, basically, when they were really raging, I had to put the wait list on because I didn't know how high it was going to go, and it was like middle August, and we had to, you know, leave room for Stanford people because, you know, one of their goals was that they be participating in BloggerCon. So all things put together, we said, okay, let's cut it off at 250 because we know we can do that. And
list looked a lot bigger than 250 to me.
We're officially at 421 right now,
right.
But that's pushing it because at the same time we're at 421, we're not that high in terms of dollars, and we're gonna need to feed people and provide them refreshments and mundane stuff like we have to pay Stanford to clean the rooms and we have to get Wi-Fi, right? And the webcast, which you'll be very interested to know. We should probably talk about that, actually.
We haven't talked about the fact that Doug Kay has generously offered to take care of most of it.
Well, it turns out that I don't think that's the way it's actually going to work.
This is news. You better tell me what's happening then.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I talked with Doug before we went. You know, basically, Doug was on the speakerphone at the meeting at Stanford, and so I was there with John Harrison, who is the AV guy at Stanford, and Lauren Gelman, who is with their Institute for the Internet and Society, which is the Stanford counterpart to Berkman Center. And Lauren is like the Stanford person who I'm working with on this conference.
Right.
Doug has a stick that really works, you know. I mean, Doug's IT conversations and coming out the other end of Doug's work is going to be like one beautiful, you know, beautiful
product.
You know, podcast,
audio,
web, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's going to be an MP3 and lots of different formats, and it's going to stream and whatever. However, only one of his he's only going to live stream one of the three concurrent sessions.
Right.
So that's problem number one, or opportunity number one, is that...
Well, all the sessions would be recorded, right?
Pardon me?
All the sessions would be recorded, though.
All the sessions would be recorded, but I don't see, you know, if we can do it, I don't see why not webcast all the sessions, too.
I want to try
to do that.
Okay.
Last time we had a deal with AdvanceNet with Jeff Jarvis, and they had huge capacity for webcasting. And, you know, at the very last minute, we thought, okay, well, let's ask Jeff Jarvis. And Jeff said, yeah, and they helped us out. And we were doing, like, you know, huge amounts of webcasting through his network. So that was good.
Right.
And they also, it was really interesting because I had been trying to explain to Doug about how the hobbyist side of this is so important, you know, that here we are, we're doing podcasting, and, you know, what is podcasting but amateur radio, right? And it's very much like blogging is amateur journalism, right?
Right on.
And so, mm-hmm. but Doug thinks in terms of professional, and he thinks that, that what he's doing is enough, and in some sense it is enough, but it's not for me. I want to get this thing wide open for anybody, for any, for you and for any of your podcasting. We're going to have a lot of AV geeks there at
no
this
shit.
Conference because of your podcast.
No shit.
Right. And, you know, I'm not going to tell them that, hey, you know, well, Doug's doing a professional job and, you know, therefore blah, 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 you know, because that's, you know, they're going to go, well, Dave, what happened to the blogging religion here? And I'm going to go, good point. So,
yeah, that's
and
true.
And what really convinced me of this was that, that the Stanford people asked me about that after the meeting was over. It says, well, what about the random people who want to, you know, record this or whatever? And I said, right on, exactly. You know, and that's the that's where why holding these conferences at universities is such a good thing to do, because universities think that way. They're not looking necessarily for the maximum polish. And
right.
especially at a place like, you know, Stanford Law School and at Berkman Center, it's a, you know, it's the internet for the people, basically. So we're gonna try to come up with something where not only does Doug record and do his usual very great job, but that it's also going to be wide open. There'll be a way for anybody to tap into the audio out in all three rooms.
Really?
They'll just have to. Yeah. Well,
cool.
That's what we want to do.
Yeah. Cool.
And they just have to work with us in advance. That's going to be the requirement, okay?
So how do people get in touch with you if they want to help out and get in touch in advance?
I'd like them to get in touch with you, mm-hmm. and then you tell me what your people... Then
oh,
you tell me
yeah,
what
I
they need
more
need.
Email. Thank
and,
you.
Yeah, you do. I was thinking about you, right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
I was thinking, Adam isn't getting enough email. And, you know.
Right. I don't get enough new podcast. Please add me to the directory emails.
Adam, if you start whining, they're going to stop sending it to you. That's a little secret. You have to say you love it.
I do. I love it. I love it. I fucking love it. Now, I got four other people already working on the directory with me. They're making their OPML branches, and it's working. So I'm offloading.
Wow. You know,
quickly.
I want that was that's on my list. Totally. I was listening to that on the plane from San Francisco to Seattle last night, and
mm-hmm.
I was so proud of you, Adam, that you like totally understand and can explain the whole concept of these included directories.
Well,
my dream.
now that I'm actually doing it, I understand it, and it's so simple.
Yeah.
It's still a little, you know, unless you're using Radio Userland, I haven't really come across a tool that does it exactly right, that really exports OPML
well,
perfectly.
Now, that leads me right into my next item on my list.
Oh, wait, don't tell me I segged into something for you. Damn!
Totally, perfectly. It couldn't be better.
All right, hit me, bro.
Really, couldn't be better. Okay, I was listening to your daily source code last night, as I was saying, on the plane, and heard you go into the story of OPML, and, you know, but a lot of people don't know. I mean, OPML is a very popular format in RSS aggregators.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in radio, we chose to use that as our way of listing, you know, sets of feeds, and radio was pretty influential in its early days, so basically everybody did it the same way. But what people don't know is that, as you were so well telling them, is that OPML is actually a very rich format which can do more than that, and it can do, you know, nested directories, and it can do this thing called inclusion, and it's also the underlying format of the radio outliner. And here's the deal, Adam. We open sourced that code, okay?
Oh, okay.
And
that's
so,
that's all part of Frontier.
Uh-huh. Yeah, radio builds out of Frontier. I mean, that's a little secret, basically.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing. There's no separate code base for radio. All of the C source code for radio was also released as open source. And
okay.
That includes the outliner. It includes all the OPML code. It includes a complete TCP stack, including HTTP. So that, you know, moving these outlines around is something that, and providing a user interface for editing them is something that radio does so natively that,
yeah.
You know, it's hard to stop it from doing it, basically. So, the you know, a same kind of thing could be done with that was done with the iPodder. We could get a project going to create, you know, the easiest to use outliner out of the code base that's there, and it would be Windows and Mac, and could of course be ported to any platform, including like Linux. And we would have the bootstrap for something that will be so incredible when it actually works. In other words, that this can go in so far beyond, I mean, I don't want to say it because podcasting is so incredible, but it can go beyond podcasting and into a whole sort of knowledge tree for the universe, you know.
Well, it's really exciting because, you know, when you start a directory, and I've started many directories, and then people send you links, you know, and it becomes a real drag to maintain it, you know. And if you're not, if people send you an edition and it's not up in the same day, you know, people get bored, and then it's just not alive. And by, you know, this delegation, which is also decentralization, and, you know, gives no one any real power, certainly not any centralized power, but only over, you know, whatever tree they're working on, just the offload, and you can see the possibilities immediately. Immediately, you say, "Oh, well, duh! Of course, this is how this is supposed to work." I mean, it's so simple. It really is.
Well, it's the outline equivalent of a link, and outlines. You know, it's just that's all we did was follow the grain of the outline and said, "Okay, what would a link look like in this space?" And if you go back to the outliners we did in the 80s, this would be the equivalent of what we call cloning. So that an item and all of its descendants can appear in as many places as you want to. They also call them file aliases in the Macintosh, and they call them shortcuts in Windows. So it's the concept of a pointer. It's a computer science thing that they always seem to have mystical powers when you use them, and this is no exception.
Is that like a symlink as well?
Pardon me?
Is that like a symlink?
I don't know what a symlink is.
Oh, okay. That's in Unix where you can say, okay, this file path, it's a symbolic link. It's not real. But if you point to it, it'll take you to the real file. Is that the same thing?
Yeah, that sounds totally like it. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, you see them everywhere. In user talk, the user talk scripting language, it's the address symbol generates a pointer. So pointers are like major big deal, but having them in an interactive product like an outliner, where the outliner then can, you know, try expanding one of these things when you open it up in your outliner.
Yes,
try expanding one of your links and see what happens. And
yeah, it's like the outliner continues.
Yeah, it just keeps going. It can go on as many levels deep as you want. Now, here's something else that people might not know. Is that okay, Adam? You can include their OPML in your directory, and that will have the effect of including their directory in yours. But they can also include your directory in theirs,
right?
So that if they think they have, you know, this is where the ego starts coming in, right? And so people go, well, geez, I'm not going to be subordinate to Adam. I'm, you know, every bit as good as Adam. And unfortunately or fortunately or whatever, that happens a lot in the computer business.
It's people also true.
Just, you know, yeah, well, it's true. But, you know, sometimes swallowing your pride is a good thing to do so that it's for the greater good. But, okay, so even if that isn't going to happen, then what can happen is if you've got the master directory for the pod space, then include, they can include your directory in theirs because you have an OPML rendition of yours.
Right.
And when they do that, when they do that, they will also be including everything that you included. So there's nobody. It's just like saying nobody has the top homepage on the web.
Right. Right.
Nobody has the top homepage directory. And this is a major, major thing because if this thing really catches on, then we can get directories on every subject, and we can also get two or three directories on every subject.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing this really hasn't happened for weblogs. You know, the people who have weblogs should have directories.
We you know what? It was the order in which things happened, actually, was what made it not happen for weblogs, because before we had any idea, this idea postdates weblogs, this outline, you know, directory stuff came after weblogs, right?
Okay.
By the time it came online, there were already tens of thousands of blogs. And so people had learned to accept complete chaos, okay? Then Google had come along and had been doing a pretty good job of indexing them.
And there were directories like Yahoo, and Google has a directory.
Oh, yeah.
And all kinds of directories with, I presume,
lots of politics.
And politics, yeah.
Yeah, lots of politics in there. What was I going to say? Yeah, it could go a lot further than simply just for podcasting. It could be for everything. And you have three versions.
You being the daddy-o of the outliner. This, I heard you say it about 10 minutes ago. This must be like the ultimate dream to have one big outline traversing the entire universe.
Well, we called it the world outline. I mean, that was
when we
first put all this together, right? It was like the World Wide Web, and then there's a world outline. So in a sense, there's one outline, but there are an infinite number of ways of picking it up. And I to talk about Frontier being my life's work. That's actually not true. If this thing happens, then I'm going to hang them up, boy, because I haven't got another idea in me like this one.
Well, it's funny because if you look at podcasting, which of course is built on RSS, which is at least a corner of your life's work, and what's happening with the directory now, it seems like it's exploding, and I'm just sitting here waiting, and I've even seen people write about it. Okay, you know, the hype will be over in 3 weeks, but I'm just going by bandwidth consumption. Yeah. Let's just make that an easy one. I know what you're going to say, so I'll just tell you how much I'm pushing out per day. It is now up to 37 gigabits a day, and I'm still doing the same amount of shows.
Wow.
So, you know, of course, you're supposed to say, hey, we need BitTorrent.
Oops, I didn't catch my cue.
Hey, Dave, I got some listener feedback here. A message for you, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, hold on, I'll play it for you.
Okay.
Hi, Dave. This is Aldo Castaneda from Medfield, Massachusetts, and I'm sending this because I wanted to reply in a way to Dave Weiner's comment that you had on your show the other day about a link being one of the fundamental components of the web. That got me thinking, and I guess I'd been thinking about this before I heard that really one of the kind of defining characteristics that perhaps we don't think about. Perhaps this is something that the community out there, that's particularly the open source community, thinks about a lot, but is that the web provides an incredibly efficient way to measure ideas, to measure the value of ideas very early, without requiring huge capital investment. And I think this notion, really, if it hasn't been discussed much, is one that's really worthy of focus and discussion, because I think it has huge implications, particularly for those people that are developing just for the love of it, you know, the iPod community in essence, in that if the community can harness the value of an idea, or can measure the value of an idea really early on, and can measure that throughout the life of an idea, then I think that can give those people that devote themselves to it a lot of freedom in terms of finding interesting ways to get financing, basically to get paid for what they do, without at the same time having to give up the freedom in which they do it. To they don't have to work for a corporation, things like that. That's the core concept. And I guess what I want to do is just put that concept forward and see if there's interest in really trying to understand it, or to find out if it's already something that's been thought about and dismissed, and just put it out there. My email address is aldo@theworld, so if this ever gets out to your community and there's kind of an interest in researching it more, it's something that I'd actually really like to dedicate some time to research, because I think it could have really fundamental impact on the way we view open source and distributed development, all those things. All right, thanks a lot.
Could you hear that, Dave?
Yeah, I heard the whole thing. I think that I think it's right. I'm not sure about that it can generate financing, but there's a reason why the web attracted all the hippies, you know,
yeah.
because, you know, as he's lighting up one, God, what timing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, baby, I'm right there, Dave.
The web rules. Gadget was, this is what we don't talk about, but let's talk about it anyway.
Okay.
But Engadget was reviewing Trade Secrets, and I thought they're doing a great job, and support what they're doing. I'm a big fan of Engadget.
And
they said that, you know, basically this is the best form of radio because Adam's always doing bong hits
So are you, I heard.
And they kind of said I'm doing it, too. But I want to get that really clear. I'm not.
You wish.
And I live in a country where you go to jail for that shit, okay? So the next thing I don't want to hear is the DEA knocking down my door going, Dave.
Dave's not here, man. Dave's not here.
Anyway, to go back with what was his name?
Aldo.
Castaneda? Aldo Castaneda.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the web was about disintermediation, or the internet is about disintermediation, which means is a fancy word, which means getting rid of the intermediaries. And not that we didn't need intermediaries, because we did. I mean, in the era of centralization, it was all about intermediaries. The big TV networks and radio networks and, where do you get your news from? The big airlines. Everything had to be big in order for everybody to have it. And the internet says the information doesn't have to be like that. I don't have to be big in order for anybody to have the information that I produce. So as a result, you know, for the first 10 years, which is really about where we're at now, first 10 years of the web, we were focusing on text because the pipes were,
that's all we could actually handle.
Pretty narrow. Right. And then the tools, the content development tools, the editing tools, all the stuff that we're using now, while it isn't new, it got really affordable recently.
Oh, I tell people this all the time, Dave. I mean, I invented the $40,000 website. You know, that was peanuts.
Yeah.
And why? Because it was people power, guys writing code by hand and writing it in Notepad and VI. And, now it's
right.
the $40 tool literally can do the same, if not better.
Right. And so money now is still an object. It's less of an object. And that means that we can now try to do radio. And, Adam, we've been waiting, trying to get this to bootstrap. I did a project last year with Chris Lydon, who was one of my colleagues at Berkman Center. And Chris did a series of interviews with bloggers and, luminaries, and it's great stuff. And we produced an RSS 2.0 feed with enclosures, and, some people listened to it, but it wasn't like daily source code. And it didn't take off like, Dave Slusher's stuff or any of the things that we're seeing. It may be that it wasn't a critical mass, or it may be that time wasn't right.
No, it didn't. There was no iPodder. There was no iPodder. I think Chris Lydon could do a great job now if he would continue to release stuff on his RSS feed. I think that's the only thing that made it happen, Dave.
Is that right? I think it was more than that. I think the iPodder was instrumental, but I think you doing one every day made a very big difference. Are you there?
Hold on. My battery just died. Talk amongst yourselves for a second. I just got to... No, I'll hold on a second. Let me grab out of my bag. One moment. I got it.
Okay, maybe I should play some music while Adam is out farting around. I happen to have something. I think I have something queued up here. Let's see.
This is what podcasting is all about.
Okay. Don't tell Adam that I did this, but here we go.
What did you do?
Don't tell Adam. Never got done, but that's become my favorite song. I love that one so much. Are you back? I think Adam may have turned this thing off. Anyone there?
No, hold on. I'm here.
Were we recording?
Yeah, it was funny.
I thought you must have turned us off.
Hold on, I just got to replace the battery in my transmitter. Hold on. How cool was
why we have to hold on while he fixed the battery in his transmitter.
I'm back. Yeah, Doug Kay is going to interview me at 4 o'clock my time. So I had bought new batteries.
Well, ask him not to listen to Trade Secrets today. I just realized.
Oh, shit. Just hit my head on the ledge. All right. Now, wait a minute.
Oops.
I was going to say. Oops. You know what happened, Dave? This morning, I was up early because I was interviewed by the Australian Broadcast Corporation. Or is it company?
You are such a media whore, Adam.
I am. I'm bending over and saying, come on, are you Aussie? iPod me here, baby. So I was looking over the iPodder.org site, and I did something really cool. I actually rewrote history. There's a section there that is called the history page, and it was kind of like a running ramble of thoughts. And I've been telling the story so often for the past week to in interviews. I decided, let me just write down that story because that's the story, and I could embellish a little bit more. But you should look at it because I went back and I traced the web logs, I traced the web log postings, I traced everything that happened. And it was, I wrote about this. I said, there's a couple things I did because I knew that I really wanted this thing, this iPodder, and I wasn't doing daily source code until I built iPodder. And in fact, the name daily source code at the time was chosen specifically to appeal to developers.
Right.
That makes sense, right? And
oh, yeah.
So I released the iPodder script, and then I actually blogged this. I said, hey, I'm just going to produce this every single day y'all have something to work with.
They talk like that in the Netherlands.
No, No, that's how developers talk. The y'all talk y'all.
Oh.
Y'all. So that's how it happened, Dave. And that was the difference, really. I mean, that's what it was. It was just the people who looked at the script and said, oh, that's interesting. I can do that better. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm putting a link to that.
Yeah, did you see the history page?
I do.
I think I represented your contributions correctly. If not, let me know.
Yeah, I'm deliberately trying to take a back seat here because, it's you're doing such. I mean, I don't want to stroke you too much, but you're doing such a good job here. And every technology, it would be good to have somebody who's sort of like, doing the art of it, the content, and then somebody else who's sort of thinking about, okay, well, what's the next step in the infrastructure?
That's why we're a great team. That's why we're good.
Yeah, no.
We're good. We're ugly, but we're good.
We're good. We should wear buttons that say that. We should have buttons that say we're good at BloggerCon. We should hand them out, too.
Yeah. Hi, we're good. I'm a blogger. I'm good.
You gotta love that. No, I'm a pod. Actually, Doug Kay had a really cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to figure out the verbiage of podcasting.
Oh, man, please.
And so he asked the question, podcasting must be the creation of this, right? What we're doing right now, or we're getting ready to do a podcast, because mm-hmm. the podcast is when you wind mm-hmm. up and you throw it, right?
Yeah, that's the pod pull. We're pod pulling.
Right, and so guess what he came... Yeah, right, thanks. Come on, let me go there. So he said, then what is listening? Is listening also podcasting?
Or is it podcatching?
No, it's a podcatching, exactly. And so... And the funny thing was that I had bought that.
You bought that domain name.
Podcatch.
Yeah, I remember that.
Podcatch, and then I still have it.
I have an interesting one.
So.
Hey, I have a really, really good one. We could always use, I kept this domain for many, many years. It's clambumping.org.
What the fuck does that mean?
Never mind.
Clam bumping. So somebody asked me, you must have gotten this interview too, I bet you did.
Which
somebody
one?
Asked me yesterday, Eric at OJR.
Written interview.
No, I actually do those voice. I never do written interviews.
Oh, he sent me a whole bunch of questions. That was the only written one I did. I figured, yeah. And that's actually
it's like
based
a
on that.
Holiday.
What?
That's a busman's holiday. I write all day anyway, so I figure if I'm going to do an interview.
Right, so yeah, I spoke to him. Yeah. He had some good questions about making
money. So, yeah. Well, he asked if there was a connection between Howard Stern and podcasting. It's all sort of happening at the same time. And I said, you know, well, you know, it's good. Basically, we're all spreading out. We're trying out a lot of new ideas. I honestly think that that the satellite radio is going to catch on to podcasting and use it effectively before they get Howard Stern.
Oh, really? You think it'll happen? Before 2006. Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, they have a distribution system.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, can you imagine having XM radio for your home and connecting it up to your computer?
Right.
And you know, doing the TiVo thing from your computer.
They should have a channel that does nothing more than subscribes to five different feeds and just broadcasts whatever it comes up against. That would be cool too.
That's exactly right. Why not? Or, you know, give you a guy like Adam Curry, right? I mean, do you have a track record for doing this stuff?
Sure. Yeah, give me a goddamn channel. Put me on the bird, baby.
Well. Actually, I was going to say give you $100 million.
Oh, wait. Whoa, let me retract that statement. Let me think. Channel on the bird, $100 million. I'm calling NASA. We're blasting off our own damn spaceship.
Hey, don't get it started. Okay.
I like the way you think.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you settle for $75 million?
I could barely do it.
I could probably work that out with them, you know. And they'll be willing to pay cash for like 65 if you want to go for that. You get cash.
Yeah, right.
If you want it tax-free, you get it for 50.
I want to blow the doors off of broadcasting. That's what I want to do. I think I'm finally finding my life's mission. I mean, I was listening. Did you hear the Steve Wozniak speech at
Nomdex? No,
well,
you keep talking about it.
Yeah. It was podcast. IT Conversations put it up. And I sat there listening as Wozniak, who can't be much older than I am. What is he? Is he about your age? So about 49, 50?
No, he's old. Oh, no, no.
He's older than that?
Like probably, yeah.
Because
but
he
he's got a young heart.
I mean. He was doing the same things as a kid that I was doing. I was reading Tom Swift Jr. By the way, I've been keeping this secret, but hey, this is trade secrets. I've been keeping this secret for a long time. I've secretly been doing an audiobook of Tom Swift. Because they're all on the Gutenberg project. These books are more than 100 years old. So of course, you know, that would mean that Wozniak could be that old too. But he also used the Radio Shack 101 projects in one. You know, all that shit. I was like, my God! But I had, at a certain point, it switched to broadcasting when I was about 15. I built my first transmitter. He was also a ham radio operator and built stuff. And just about when it got to the and the or and the logic gates is where I went off into broadcasting. And you know, I think I made a mark, may it be a hairy one. I made a mark in broadcasting, certainly on MTV and on radio stations around the world. And then it was the internet where I was right at the beginning of, you know, I was certainly one of those responsible for commercializing the net. Whether that's a good or a bad thing is up in the air. I think it's good, personally. And, you know, and then I just had like 5 years of dicking around and nothing really, you know, learn how to fly helicopters. That's nice. And did some, you know, tried to start a couple things and lost some money here and there and made a little bit and did, you know, but just became a user, which is what I promised myself. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, here's, oh, wait a minute, there's something else. And I'm kind of leading the charge. It's really exciting. So this may be what I'm supposed
to
do.
Well, that's what you did in the last 5 years. You learned, you assimilated and, you know, learned how to do, we all did. I mean, you know, 5 years ago, I had never, never launched a standard. I mean, I had launched things that would become standards, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't know how to, you know, how to get other people to do what I was doing, and just sort of tripped over that, you know, that basically, if you want somebody to do something, then you need to do it first, and that's the big secret, you know. You can't stand back and say, well, I'll do this, and everybody else, would you all just do that?
No, it doesn't work that way.
They simply won't do it.
No, they won't do it.
They won't. They'll just do what you're doing, and they'll say, okay, well, who needs you? We'll just like copy you and whatever. And, you know, that was at first quite frustrating because I said, well, geez, I'm already doing that. Let me do that. You do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that okay, I just learned to accept that, okay, number one.
Yeah.
And then I started when the thought popped in my head is, I wish everyone would do X, then all I did was start doing X and saying how great it was. You know, oh, mm-hmm. I can't believe this. And I always meant it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I was saying
purposely
it was great
did that
because I wanted everybody to do it. Right? I was doing it, saying it was great because I was really, you know, loving what I was doing and so excited and trying to get everybody else excited about it. And so you've now done that, and that's, you know, that's something to be quite proud of there. I mean, you know, you actually got people to copy you, and that is how you create these swells of activity. And then the question is, does it have legs? And I'm sure this does. I mean, I was sure it had legs when we were sitting in a hotel in New York.
That was a 99, wasn't it? Yeah, 99.
I think it was 2000, but, you know, it was like when the light bulb went on for me, and I, oh, shit, that's a good idea. You know, so fuck, how did this, like,
hair guy, dude.
Yeah, like, celebrity, how did he figure this shit out, you know? It's like your star had to fade a little bit before, I think.
Before it could really shine.
Well, before they're ready to let you have another career, you see. That's the thing.
True.
People don't
that's
say
true.
That about you anymore. I don't hear that. You know, they don't say, okay, well, Adam Curry, oh, he's the guy with the hair. You don't hear that much. I mean,
not much. It's still around. It's a reference.
Well,
it's like a beacon.
I have, yeah, it's a beacon. But I have to explain to some people who you are and what your background is. People who should have known, you know, you think, well, geez, where were they in the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they obviously weren't around what you were doing, and or they forgot. Or,
that's also
oh,
possible.
That's right.
I forgot a lot about the 80s, too.
Well, you know what they say about the 60s is if you remember uh-huh. them, you weren't there.
Yeah.
Right?
So I've been listening and I've been subscribing to the Coma 1000 news feed.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I got one that I want to play. Here's a short news story. These are great because about 45 minutes and they come in neatly bundled packages.
Seconds, 45 seconds.
45 seconds, sorry. Yeah, this is from Herb, who gives us tips on how to use our computers. And it made me laugh, but I this is also a good way to, you know, well, I'll talk about content routing in a second, but here's Herb with his computer tip.
Don't click that link, the opt-out link on spam email messages. Clicking it won't do any good, and according to Message Labs, a leading email security service, it may let a hacker take over your computer.
Some spammers are putting special code in those click here to opt-out links. The moment you click on it, they turn your computer into a zombie.
Bob Sullivan, technology correspondent for MSNBC, says they do that by hiding a Trojan horse program on your system.
Once this Trojan is installed on your computer, they can do anything with your computer that you could do. They can send out as much spam as they want for your computer, and that's probably why they're doing it. But they could also move around the internet using your computer. They could use your computer to attack another computer. And, of course, they could steal all your personal information from it.
So, how do you protect yourself? MSNBC's Bob Sullivan says the safest thing you can do is to read your email in plain text and not HTML format. You should also have your web browser in a high security setting. Keep your antivirus software up to date.
You should put a ginormous condom all over yourself and your computer.
And never click the unsubscribe link in a spam message. And that's today's tip. I'm Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man, looking out for you on Como 1000 News.
Ah, I love that. I feel so much safer that Herb is looking out for us.
Ah, Herb's a good guy.
He's great. He's saying all the right things.
I got to go see those guys. They're local. I'm here in Seattle. They're in Seattle. We've got to find out. We got some Soul Brothers here.
Very cool.
What they're doing is so incredibly cool. Can I tell you a little story?
Yeah, go for it.
It's a real much time. We had the Thursday evening meetings at Berkman. We would do them every Thursday. It was an open meeting for all bloggers, not just people at Harvard, but just anybody in the area and people that would come, you know, in town, and they'd come by and see us. One of the regulars at those meetings was Lisa Williams, and we were talking about, I forget exactly what we were talking about, but the nature of the web came up, or blogs or whatever, and she said that blogs are like, you know, food that you can eat, like food you can eat with chopsticks. And I asked for an explanation. She said, well, you know, if you look at what you know, Chinese food is, or, you know, is that they design their food so that it can be eaten with chopsticks. And you stop and think about it, and it's true. There are these little chunks. They're already pre-sliced. Everything's all ready for you to just pick it up and put it in your mouth, which isn't like Western food, which is designed to be eaten with a fork and knife. So, you, like, a steak isn't like that, right? And then, you know, she was saying that that blogs are like Chinese food that way. They're these little morsels, little, you know, little standalone things that, you know, and that's what struck me about the Como, you know, podcast feed is that what they're doing, like you said in your daily source code, is that, okay, they're now giving me the daily news in a form where, okay, if I'm not interested, just hit the fast forward button and I'm on to the next one.
Right.
Now that's a revolution.
And the next step, of course, is, you know, subscribe to the general interest feed here or the sports feed, or, you know, that's the next step.
Yeah. It's putting a lot more, the user is a lot more in control, and yet there's nothing about it that says you can't, like, make money doing this. None of their business models are negated. However, they will have to deal with more competition because there's not this scarce resource called bandwidth. I mean, or frequency.
Frequency,
or
spectrum. Spectrum
is the right word. Sorry, I'm not a geek in that area. But yeah, so it's wonderful. They took the lead in what you're doing with WGBH Boston. That's fantastic.
Yeah, isn't that
great?
The
stories are a lot of fun. And, you know, there's going to be a lot more of that. And that's so exciting.
I got a... I got another audio comment from... have you ever listened to the Don and Drew show?
I've only heard clips of it from on your show. I have not listened to it yet.
They're funny, man. You really should listen. Yeah, it's funny. You know, they wind up talking about how, you know, Don is saying, okay, so when you sit down to pee, you know, does your wiener get wet? And it's like, and they're really honest. These are really honest
questions.
These
are the questions on everybody's mind, right? I mean,
yeah,
God.
I guess so.
You know, it wouldn't have been a war in Iraq if we knew the answer to that one.
Hold on, here's a comment Drew sent in. Actually, it was probably for the source code, but since this is my recording venture for today, we'll use it here.
Hey, Adam, it's Drew from the Don and Drew Show. I just... thought I'd try out this audio comment type of thing. Just seems like the cool thing to do these days. But I was checking out your podcast today, and you were referencing, what's his name? Gohagan?
He does it for us.
Hey, Adam, it's Michael Gohagan.
Michael.
There we go. Gohagan. Okay, here's some feedback.
Michael Gohagan, he had, you know, he was mentioning the whole genre thing, and I just thought that was really interesting because... I hadn't really realized that it was even an issue. I had been doing it since I think I did it from like the third show. I started adding all the metadata, and then I went back in and redid all the metadata, even back to the very first show. So anybody who grabs all of them, as I was going through the metadata, the ID3 tags inside iTunes, I realized that you could type in the genre tag. So I just went ahead and put podcast, and I've been doing it ever since. And I just think it's, you know, it's pretty cool that I was just like forcing that genre upon anybody and everybody's iTunes. So interesting that, you know, that was what you guys are talking about, and, you know, I'd been doing that, and not that I'm like the pioneer of that or anything. I just think it's cool. I think it's totally appropriate, and we should definitely force our agenda on the masses. So yeah, hey, awesome show. Thanks again for, I mean, you inadvertently plugged our show again by playing that, podcast from Canada.
All right, so then he goes on to thank me profusely. But these are just users, man. These are just people who are just digging you doing this. This is
you
got to
be careful. I found out about calling people users. They
don't like it. I wouldn't like being called a user. Yeah.
They don't necessarily see themselves that way. The other thing I was thinking about is listening. I didn't hear most of what he said because the connection's getting pretty bad.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You must be doing an iPodder scan right now.
No, I have everything off. I have all my shared drives are disconnected. I'm standing on my left foot.
I'm probably doing one then.
Yeah, you're probably your aggregator's sucking shit down.
I think, Adam, it's getting pretty close to time for some awards. You know, but, yeah, I think it's getting
there. And a button on your homepage.
That's the thing. Well, no, I'm not kidding. This isn't a joke, you know.
Yeah,
the thing is that people mostly, we talk about this with developers, right? You know, what do developers want?
90% of what a developer wants is to be appreciated, to
of
be
course.
Acknowledged, to, yeah. to be seen, you know, to achieve visibility through their creativity, which is the best way for somebody to be visible. You know, mm-hmm. you don't want somebody to be then to have to create visibility by, you know, flaming you on a mail list, right?
Right, right.
So, you know, so we're still in good vibe land here, and maybe we could figure out a way, you know, it can't just be, you know, I don't know how we do it, but it'd be great to sort of give everybody who's done a podcast right now some way of being part of something, like an association mm-hmm. or, you know, because these are the good energy people. These are the people who are going to remember when it was wonderful.
National Association of Podcasters.
N-A-P-C.
Map.
NAPCA.
NAPCA. Hmm. MAPCA. Napka. I am going to the MAPCA meeting.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
All right, we'll have to work on that one.
Yeah. Well, either we do it at or around BloggerCon, or it all has to happen after BloggerCon, because that's a big...
You got it. We're going to have a pod... I got it. This is what Doug Kay asked for. We got to do it. We're going to have a podcaster's dinner on Saturday.
There you go. There you go.
Okay.
Oh, and man. It'll be a good geek fest. It's going to be fun.
It'll be recorded about 80,000 different ways. No doubt there'll be a record of that one.
It's like a jamboree right? on the air, everybody. Do you remember those?
Everybody.
Do you remember
hey, I have a question for you. Yeah. I got to ask you this.
Yeah.
You were going about your college radio experience. Mm-hmm. You were saying, blah, 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 everybody.
Everybody, everybody.
Right. Yeah, where the fuck does that come from?
That, well, what happens a lot, Howard Stern.
That way of pronouncing it.
Oh, that way of pronouncing it?
Yeah.
It's because that is a takeoff of a takeoff of a takeoff on the way old fashioned announcers talk. And what you notice in the radio business, guys on the real radio, not podcasting, but broadcasting, they're always, you know, you stand next to them in the studio and listen, they're screaming most of them, like, hey, everybody, it's a WNCZ 100! We'll take caller 100 right now, 1-800-242-0100, good luck from Z100! Right? So, I've had some practice.
Wait, hold on a minute while I regain my composure.
Right, well, so then the other one is, 107.5 WLTW, playing the best of the 70s, yeah, like, the 80s, yeah. and the 90s. We're the mix in town.
Yeah, I can do that one. Yeah. Hunter Schwartz on WNEW.
W. Well, yeah, no, that had to be kind of like the muffled microphone. It was like, Jonathan Schwartz on WNEW FM.
No, you know, you're overdoing it. He was the faux sincere. He was sort of like your best friend, but the best friend of your girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And so he would, like, he could do the trade secrets. I mean, you know, you always sort of get the idea that he knew how to get the chicks. So you wanted to sort of listen to figure out how he was doing it so then you could get some too.
Well, so what I think it all happened, Howard Stern really brought that into the front of the media when Hank Kingsley from the Larry Sanders Show. Hey now, Hank Kingsley. And now it's time for Larry Sanders. And so Howard Stern started doing a lot of that. But in the meantime, at radio stations, this has been this way forever since, I guess, you know, rock and roll radio started. Guys who weren't on the radio, so like the program director and the managing or the general manager or the music director, they all, you know, have this like special little language that they speak with the air talent, who are often like the morning show guy who might also be the program director. And they all talk about, hey man, how are you doing, everybody? Hey man, all right, yeah man, yeah, we got good ready news, man. Yeah, hey man, all right, man, I'll talk later, bye. Because, you know, we're all such incredible communicators, we have our own little special shorthand. And ask anyone in radio, they'll confirm this. It's horrible. So, you know, you just get into the habit of just slipping into it, and, you know, the automatic thing is, hey now, everybody, how you doing? Good morning! So.
That's great.
But listen to the radio, and that's the difference between radio broadcasts and podcasts. That's the first thing you hear. That's why I say it's like college radio, which was incredibly cool, man. You got to listen to college radio back in the 80s. You know, that's where it was happening. That's where REM came from, you know. But
well, I did actually listen to FM radio when I was in San Francisco, and mm-hmm. It was actually kind of nice. There's a station called KFRC, which is oldies format, and they played some songs I hadn't heard in a long time. And
right.
That's I like that. It's nice, you know. They played a song called "Those Were the Days." Those were the days,
my friend.
We thought it's a Russian. It turns out, and then the announcer came on and explained that it was a Russian song.
Yeah.
I think her name was Mary Hopkins
mm-hmm,
or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wonderful song. So, you know, it's like I sat there in the parking lot. I
listened to the song.
My hotel. And I just listened, and tears, you know, it's sad, because it's true, those were the days we thought they'd never end,
right.
You know,
and
we were young, and
we're getting
we didn't
close.
Know better.
We're getting damn close, Dave.
Oh, man, damn yeah, it.
You know, mentioned that.
I wish I'd known, what?
Yeah, go ahead, you wish you'd known what?
I wish I'd known then what I know now, you know,
yeah,
stupid
yeah.
cliche,
sure,
right? You know?
Sure, anyway, yesterday, on the Source Code, I played Frank Sinatra, Come Fly With Me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I know.
So here's something really weird. Today, in slips into my iPodder. So I actually checked that on iTunes. The latest Geek Speak, which is the gamer geeks who have a podcast.
Yeah,
check them out. What they started with. This it freaked me out, and it took me a second. And I won't let you hear the whole thing, but you'll understand.
Fly me to the moon.
Yeah.
Let me.
That's how they started.
Listen, I can tell you didn't read Scripting News yesterday because
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You did.
I'm waiting for you to tell the story.
What?
I'm waiting for you to tell the story.
Oh, yeah. I was getting off the tram at SFO listening to the Daily Source Code. I had just, you know, returned my rental car, was going to the terminal, and Adam says, well, I'm going to play you a song. And the song comes on as I'm going down. It says, Welcome to San Francisco International. And it's Come Fly With Me, da 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 da. And I go, fuck, I'm going flying with Adam. All right. Not bad. Everybody.
Yeah. Big day. Everybody on the other side of the line, everybody. He's from Seattle, Washington. How's the weather there, big day? Listen to the radio, and you're gonna start noticing this. You will start noticing how these guys talk. You know, and they're so cookie cutter. Always in the middle of the day, there's always the midday girl. That's when the women are always on. It has to be, you know, midday is after the morning show and before afternoon drive. So it kind of carries you over. Mm-hmm. And it's for housewives. That's why they always put women there. It's like,
actually, when I was a kid, WNEW FM, which was my station, had Allison Steele.
Allison Steele, you know, the Nightbird.
Right.
Yeah.
The Nightbird, exactly.
The Nightbird,
and
yeah.
She would be on like at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you'd go, oh my God, she must be a mysterious woman. She's on at 2 a.m.
She had the perfect face for radio, my friend.
Yeah. And then she used to play, there was a song, I forget who sang it, it was called I Usually Like It Much Better in the Morning, Yeah. And it was a woman singing that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you could find that somewhere. It was really something.
I like it so much better. I'll have to look at it for it later. Yeah.
I like it much better in the morning, which was an unusual thought to me. You know, because, whatever, I was fascinated, obviously. I was 16 years old. What else do you think I was thinking?
Yeah, you were
about,
listening
right?
to the Nightbird. And see, here's the generation gap, Dave. When I moved to New York in 87, I was 20-something, we had Robin Bird on Channel J.
Oh, God.
Have you ever seen her?
God. Yeah, that's a faint echo of what Alice.
Come on, baby, bang my box. Come on, baby, bang my box. You can bang my box. That was a great show. I love that show.
Listen, when all this shit was going on with Jonathan Schwartz and Scott Muni was another one.
Yeah, Scott Muni, WNEW.
There were hippies in the East Village, you know? There were long-haired hippies, just like there were in Haight-Ashbury. K-Fog was, I don't know.
I don't know anything about San Francisco radio. Zero. Doc Searles knows everything about San Francisco radio.
Well, yeah, he does. There's two stations in San Francisco Bay Area that were seminal, made a big difference, at least as far as I know, were K-Fog, which is still there, and that was a progressive rock,
right?
You know, the equivalent of WNEW. And then there was K-Pig.
K-Pig, yeah.
In Gilroy, I think they were.
They had a stream going for a long time. Did they still stream? They were like one of the big pioneering
streamers. I don't know, but they
streamers.
Were still there. When I moved to the Bay Area in 79, and I lived in Los Gatos, that was the first place I lived, I was close enough to Gilroy to actually pick up K-Pig, and it was great. I couldn't believe it. They were playing things like Little Feet. You know, Little Feet was one of my favorite bands.
Right,
and,
right.
And you know, they played the Dead. They played all the sort of stuff you never heard on FM radio. Of course, they were too good, I guess, to last. But Doc, you know, we'll talk about that. I'm sure Doc will be there at BloggerCon.
God, man, we got to do so many podcasts when we're at BloggerCon. I'm just looking forward to putting cool stuff together.
Chris Sliden did that at the first BloggerCon.
He did. It was really good. It was very good.
Oh, in fact, he interviewed you, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we should dig that one up. There was you, and who else did he interview that was really good?
A couple
of Jay Rosen.
Yeah, you're
Jay
right.
Rosen Jay Rosen's podcast, or we didn't call him podcast then, but I remember going, okay. This
webcast, we called him for some reason. Or something like that. Well, they were cast from the web.
I don't remember. We'll have to go back and listen to see what we called him. But, you know, Chris did some, I mean, that was the first time I heard Daily Kos, and he interviewed Daily Kos. So
right.
He interviewed Julie Powell from...
hold on a second, Dave. My cat is freaking out. Hold on. I got to go. Let the cat in. Come here. Come here, baby. Come here.
Everybody wait while
Talk
Adam goes
yourselves.
And takes care of the cat.
Come here. Go. Damn.
Maybe someday we should do a trade secrets that's like 100% domestic.
We have wireless microphones. Yeah, I'm back, but no wireless speakers yet.
Okay, so I was just telling the people about how someday we ought to do the domestic trade secrets where basically all we do is just clean the house and flush the toilet.
Reality radio.
Maybe you can leave it running while I go shopping. You know?
How incredibly exciting. Oh, my God. It's the boner cast. Lovely.
So yeah, I had dinner with Steve Gilmore. That's one thing I want to tell you about.
And, or the night before.
No, the night before.
Yeah.
Was it? It was the night before.
The night before, yeah.
And he says...
Can't wait to meet him at BloggerCon.
This is a comedy channel. Yeah, I asked him if he had ever met you. He said he hadn't. He says what we're doing is a comedy show here.
Then we can get a listing under the comedy node in the directory, which is maintained by someone else, so I'll have to submit a link.
You'll have to get down on your hands.
I will. Please add us to your comedy directory. Please, please, please.
No, please. And buy flowers and tell him how much you love him.
Yeah.
And,
the way
or
it should
to her
be.
Or whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah, send flowers. Tell them that you really care.
I love you and I love it and I really care. Right. So what else is Steve's? I can't wait to meet Steve because he's been such a tremendous driving force. And at the end of every single... Gilmore Gang boy, if he doesn't come out and just plug podcasting some more.
It was really great the way I was listening to the interview
with Kim Pelosi.
Pelosi. And, you know, I wanted them to ask her a question that they didn't ask, you know, because she was always talking about Locke. And I don't know if you listened. Did you listen
to
that?
I listened to the whole thing. It was extremely difficult at times.
Yeah. Was it? Why was it difficult?
Well, because I got the idea, you know, and I just hear a lot of marketing speak after a while. You know, I just get tired of it. You know, I get it. You know, I get it. You're providing service to open source, you know, stacks that you'll sell. I get it. It's great. You know, there's companies doing that. There's going to be more, and this is probably going to be a really good one.
Well, there's a geek fascination with Kim. You got to understand, she can really
She's
talk
cute.
About anything she wants.
She's cute.
Yeah, and she, you know, guys will go, "Oh, really? Oh, that's fascinating."
Boing,
that's
boing,
what
boing,
they want to hear.
Boing,
they want to hear.
Oh, Kim, this is boing, 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 boing. This is great. You're right. The Gilmore Gang. All those guys were sitting there. I thought
exactly.
It was phones ringing, but no, it was boing, 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 boing.
Yeah, they just wanted to know what's on her mind. And but at the end, he did.
It
was
off
really
chest,
cool.
Kim.
I thought this. There was a really great moment in there where, at the end, you know, because she apparently had given a speech at this invitation-only $2,400 VC conference on blogging, which, by the way, is like a Republican conference on the environment.
Yeah, I read that quote on Scripting News. That was funny.
It's gotten a lot of play.
Yeah, of course.
I actually got a response from a venture capitalist on that, and a friend of mine, Hank Barry. And the conversation turned in very interesting directions, you know.
Bet,
and Hank's
yeah.
a really good guy. He came out and visited us. Anyway, at the end they asked, so Kim's speech was apparently a lot about you know, podcasting and blogging and RSS and, you know, all the things that we think are so cool, you know, which don't seem to have anything to do
with
what she's doing, right?
An open source stack.
Right, with a stack. Well,
Stack casting. We have a new one, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to bring you stack casting by the end of the year.
Pretty soon, yeah. I can see it. It's in the queue right now. So they asked her about that, and then she just lit up. It's like, oh, this is all the cool shit, blah, 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 blah. And you go, okay, that's cool. How did that happen? Why isn't she doing all that stuff, you know?
I don't know. She should be.
It's a venture capital thing. It's another one of those where probably they had a CEO for this company, the Kleiner Perkins guys, and something happened.
He blew up.
Or the entrepreneur said he could be the CEO, and they eventually wore him down and convinced him he couldn't. And you know, whatever.
Is Kim like the standby CEO in residence of venture
There's
capital
no such
firm?
Thing. Yeah, it's not the standby. They have a stable of them. It's the way the system works.
Yeah.
Basically, they move you out of one company, and then you get a hangout until, you know, and they keep showing you companies until you go, okay, I like that one, and they put you in the CEO of that one. You know?
Oh, hey Dave, let's start a company and then let venture capitalists take us out real quick.
Oh, I actually did that once.
Me too.
I've been living off the proceeds ever since.
Yeah, let's start something.
Yeah, I was, don't tell anyone. That's a secret.
It's a secret. That was funny because I heard... I don't know if Steve was at that dinner, but he certainly did call on her at the end of the Gilmore Gang about podcasting.
Yeah,
you know, that was kind of cool, and he didn't really attack her. He had lots of room there, which was nice.
But, oh, you know, totally. The question he should have asked her is where's your lock-in? Where's your lock-in? You know, she was talking about everybody else's lock-in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like saying, okay, he has dirty underwear. He has dirty underwear. He has okay, Kim. What about your underwear?
She's got a dirty stack. You know?
Yeah.
She's stacked.
I'm not going there. I'm sorry. We have
Don't
to
you have to put a disclaimer in somewhere here, Mr. Weiner?
No.
All right. On that note.
That was a long time ago.
On that note.
And I have...
You know, I have... you want to listen to something or you want to end it? We're about an hour into this. What do you want to do?
What do you have?
It's about, let me see how long it is. It's kind of long, but it's really good. It's 6 minutes. It's, I plugged this yesterday on the source code, the Truth Out overview from truthout.org. This guy who's doing his own podcast, and it's just so good. It's just, I mean, this
well,
guy.
Well, then
this
you have to play it if it's so good.
I'll just play, a, I'll play a little bit of it. I want to play the beginning and about a minute of what he's doing. You'll get the idea pretty quickly. All right?
Okay.
Because it's something you should subscribe to.
Tell the people that free speech is a ruse. The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control? Heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times?
Good evening. This is William Rivers Piff, and this is the Truth Out Overview for Friday, October 8th, 2004. Our lead for today comes from the editorial board of the Des Moines Register and is titled Orwell Goes to War. The essay reads in part as follows. We live in Orwellian times, where obvious falsehoods are asserted brazenly as the truth. The day after the final report of the Iraq Survey Group confirmed that Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction and no active programs to produce them, Vice President Dick Cheney blithely asserted that the report justified the invasion of Iraq. No, Mr. Vice President, the report shattered the last forlorn hope that the war was necessary. It established that Iraq posed no threat to the United States before the 2003 invasion or any time in the foreseeable future.
You get the idea, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's really, really good stuff. And he reads his own essays and other newspaper articles you might not come across. It's a podcast, but it's just like a weblog. You know, he's routing information. All these people are routing information around. I just routed information by playing this. This is good. This is just good stuff. It's a good feed to subscribe to.
What's the feed? Where is it?
It's in the podcast directory.
Oh, that's all you need to know.
Yeah, on iPodder.org. It's a Truth Out. The Truth Out Overview is what it's called. So you should be able to find. That's what we need. We need to be able to search the directory tree really quickly.
We got to do all kinds of stuff like that.
Is that possible if it's distributed? Does that work?
Oh, anything works. You know, we've got to... Well, here's the deal. Then we got to talk to the search engines and get them to crawl that tree.
Mm.
You know, and then... Okay, that's step number one. I'm glad we got a chance to do this. That's step number one. Then once they've crawled it, when they find one, they should just display it like a directory.
Yeah,
and you're done.
Yeah, you're done.
It's so cool. Right. We've now completely disintermediated Yahoo. And God knows they need to be disintermediated. Even they would agree with that. By now.
Yeah,
probably
right.
Not. Right. Well, but then who cares what they think, right?
Exactly. No, I don't care either.
I don't care. Jeremy Zawadny, take that. Oh, he doesn't care what I think. You know, can you believe that guy? I mean, basically, he goes and asks Tim O'Reilly whether he has any conflicts of interest. Like, don't you own Google stock, Tim? And, of course... Tim did own Google stock, and it was a good question to ask.
Yeah.
And so I quoted him asking the question. And
that was,
I thought,
was that about a year ago?
Somebody, so, no, it wasn't that long ago. Mm. It's about time somebody had the balls to ask O'Reilly that question, you know?
What's the question, though? Explain the situation, because I know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, what happened was that Tim O'Reilly, Google was getting a lot of heat for something that they did. I don't remember what it was. You know, they get a lot of heat, and it's... You know, they're a big company, and they're in a leadership position, and heat is a good thing. You got to...
It was,
you
know, Gmail. It was toes. Gmail. It was about Gmail, wasn't it?
Right. It was the privacy issues. Yeah. And the privacy issues, and I think I had written this, was like they were no worse than anybody else, and come on, get a life. This isn't really a privacy issue. But people were freaking out, and the state of California was going to pass a law, you know, making what they were doing illegal. It was just so ridiculous.
Yeah,
so Tim O'Reilly comes along and writes a thing basically saying this is all a bunch of bullshit and, you know, you can't, you know, hold them. But he went way over the line, I thought. I forget what he said, but some of the things he said were like, come on, you know, don't go so far. Don't get so crazy about Google. We got to be realistic about them. And with Jeremy Zawadny, who works at Yahoo, you know, his what was making him sore, and you could see this happening over and over, is that Yahoo, they feel a fair amount of resentment for Google because they get credit for doing the things that Yahoo did first. They get credit for doing them first.
Right.
Everybody says, oh, Google's so innovative, but they're actually just copying Yahoo.
That's the way it goes.
So, you know, he's become... Well, it sucks. I hate that.
Yeah.
And I support Zawadny in that one. I think that we ought to know who did the innovation. And let's get grounded in the truth. So Zawadny asked the question, you know, hey, Tim O'Reilly, don't you own a lot of Google stock?
But that you didn't disclose,
Tim,
when you wrote that.
And of course, yeah, you kind of do need to disclose that. And or at least, you know, when somebody asks, you should answer, right? And instead, Tim goes, you know, blah, 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 and blah, 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 and never really answers the question, except he kind of says, yeah, I do. But, you know, it's sort of like that comes in paragraph 8. You know, first he has to say why the question isn't a fair one and how, blah, you know, whatever. Tim O'Reilly, usual, long, windy, very sort of like, you know, I'm Mr. Cool and perfect and clean. And
well, there goes my invitation to Foo Camp, Dave. Thanks.
No, that goes my invitation to camp. You can go stroke them any way you want. But so anyway, to take a long story, very, very long, tediously long, I quoted Zawadny. I said, well, I didn't say anything. I just, you know, Zawadny colon, how much stock does Tim own? Google stock does Tim own? And all of a sudden, a fucking...
You're the bad
lame
guy.
Like, I'm the bad guy, right?
They always kill the messenger, Dave. They always kill the
messenger. No, I'm not the messenger. Zawadny's the messenger. But you want to know what the problem is? Zawadny's an O'Reilly author. Okay.
Oh, the small detail.
What clearly happened was they said, well, were you expecting a royalty check this week, you know, this month?
The tech industry is worse than entertainment, Dave. The tech industry is just fucking bad. Except we got cuter chicks in entertainment.
Yeah, well, you don't get as well.
We don't have Kim.
We're catching up. We're catching up quickly. You have plenty of Kims. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no.
You're all of that.
All right. What do you say we hit the theme music, get the fuck out of here?
I think it's time to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, because we got to, you know, keep our standing in the comedy listing on the directory. It can't become boring. All right, Dave. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, Adam, have fun.
Okay. It's Dave at scripting.com, Adam at curry.com. This is Trade Secrets at secrets.scripting.com. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye. Say bye, Dave.
Right on.
These beats blow off your speakers. Trade Secrets. Trade Secrets.
This one is for my peeps on the streets. That's how it's meant to be. So nod your heads and feel the beat. We're tasting victory.